Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to another episode of Agents of Mace. Today, we're continuing our watch through of Echo with Echo, Episode 2. Fun stuff. I think this is probably my favorite, like, first part of one of these episodes. Only because it was just, like, I didn't know what was happening. It looked really cool. It felt really cool. It sounded really cool. If this was, you know, a sport that we still played and was televised on ESPN, I would watch it. So, you know, before we get too far into what's going on, overall, I enjoyed this episode. So, first thoughts.
Yeah, this one has, like, the sports test. Like, I don't even know where it's really set, but they're, like, playing a game, right, in this intro? Yeah. This intro was pretty fun. You know, this was probably the episode for me that I didn't connect with the most. It kind of took me, like, the next episode to get back into the groove of things. So I remember this one not being, like, I would say in terms of, like, the five episodes, probably, like, low on my list.
Yeah, this one also, it felt like a little bit of a dip from the first episode. It wasn't bad, but it just didn't, it wasn't as kind of like absorbing, like catch your attention as the first one. And as far as the opening sequence goes, I did pull up the things about it. And it said that it took place in 1200 AD, so a long time ago. And the game that they're playing is Choctaw Stickball, but I thought it looked like lacrosse. So whenever I was watching this with Mason, I was like, look, they're playing lacrosse. That's how much I thought it was lacrosse. Which is on TV now and you can watch it, but this is different. This one, it had interesting moments. I mean, it did have like a train heist, but still I preferred episode one. And I'm still anxious to see where the series is going. I'm actually watching this as we record, and like the boys, they've both seen the whole series already. I have not. So I'm truly blind.
Well, this episode we get a lot of comic book nods, including a nod to a little bit of what we talked about last week, which was like her family history and what powers she potentially has, which I wanted to talk about really quick because I did a little research and found that Maya's powers are similar to those of Taskmaster. She can duplicate like any action, physical action that she's seen. That's her power. Quote.
Yeah.
But there is a comic line where she is picked to be one of the champions of the Phoenix Force, where she then has to battle other champions to figure out who is going to inherit the next Phoenix Force. So I'm wondering if this is some sort of tie to the like mystical side of what's going on in this series. Like if they pulled a Miss Marvel on us, have they taken some comic book aspects and sort of twisted them to fit in this universe so that maybe she does have some sort of power and it's like a slight mimic of the abilities that she gets with the Phoenix Force. So
an interesting I'll be thought. Curious on that, like to like your point of like her first abilities, like I wish we could have gotten to see a little bit more of that in a different way in episode one. So like we get the scene of her in the boxing ring and there's like a moment where, you know, she's just kind of like monitoring the guy, but I don't think it was so much of like monitoring like his moves. I think it was just knowing that like he was scared, you know,
right,
seeing his hand shake. Whereas I wish they could have shot this in a way of like, maybe he was like the undefeated in that boxing club or whatever. Mm-hmm. And she was just on the sidelines watching how he fought to understand right. that. And then she would have gone in there and just like taken him out in like 2 seconds.
Right. I feel like this almost has, it has a, there's a universe where the Echo Show is very much like the Robert Downey Jr. Sherlock Holmes movie, where like we get these scenes of Echo playing out what's going to happen in her head and then doing
right.
what she played out in her head, but right. at like a faster speed. And I think it would be really cool because it definitely seems like it would fit the vibe of like what her abilities are and
yeah.
sort of like how the show is shot. So
it's like the one other thing with Echo that I couldn't really pick up if this was how accurate this was in the comic or if this was leaning more towards the character for the series, was just like that she has the ability to like read lips, but I don't really recall if in the comic she was actually like couldn't hear. I thought it was more of just like a tactical ability, like that kind of goes with her monitoring the fight's moves, because like her weakness is if she's fighting someone in the dark, right? If she can't see right. them, then she can't really see like what, you know, she can't monitor what they're doing specifically, and that kind of halts a weakness. Whereas like, you know, her interactions with like the Avengers, like she can't read lips if you have a mask, right? So
right.
there's a comic where she meets like Iron Man and Captain America, and Captain basically has to like tell her what Iron Man's saying because she can't read the lips.
Right. Yeah, I'm not, I have her Marvel page pulled up and I don't really see anything about her not being able to hear. It seems like and being introduced to Echo as a character in Hawkeye, it makes you think like Echo, because she can't, it's like related to her not being able to hear. But then it's like, no, it's Echo because she's able to copy your move set.
Right.
Like that's the duplication part of the Echo. So it is interesting. I think that the Marvel Universe now has like taken the time to take these characters from older things and sort of like rework them into being either more inclusive or more like accessible for people of like any walk of life to right. look at the character and be like, that could be me. And I think that's really cool. And I really hope that they like continue doing that with these characters. Because I think it makes for a more interesting story too. Like if it was just like, here's this girl that can like copy everything she sees. Well, we've already seen that. That's already a character in the Marvel Universe. You gave us female Taskmaster. That's literally what she does. So they had to like rework it to be like, this character is different. Here's why.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think that's really cool. So.
This says, I pulled up the biography and it said that she is in the comics of Cheyenne, Native American and Latin American descent, and that her teachers, whenever she was in school, noticed that she, it says that her, Once her teachers notice her ability to duplicate musical performances, they come to realize that she is in fact deaf. So.
Okay.
It looks like she's deaf in the comics. I don't know if she has. Like in the TV show, she's an amputee as well, but I don't know if she's one in the comics.
Mm-hmm.
I know that the actress who plays Echo, Alacqua Cox, is an amputee in real life.
Mm-hmm. I'm trying to remember. There was a, I think it was in the first episode when she's fighting Daredevil and he like punches her kick. Like he blocks her kick by punching it and it makes like the metal clang sound.
Mm-hmm.
And my first thought was like, oh, what is that movie? Oh, The Kingsman? Mm-hmm. You know how there's the girl with like the two like sword legs?
Yeah.
Immediately I was like, oh, wouldn't that be cool if she got a sword leg? Like that'd be cool.
I just rewatched that movie, by the way.
Such a good one. Well, in this episode, we talked a little bit about the stickball game, but the big takeaway from the stickball game was that the woman who we're kind of like seeing as the main character for the stickball game, eventually we see that she has the same glowing symbol as Chaffa, who mm-hmm. was the first Choctaw. And it gives her sort of like the power to steal the ball and like win the game. Again, we're seeing this like, there is some sort of power, whether it's a mutant ability, a cosmic ability, an eternal ability. We don't know what it is, and they still haven't explained it yet. It's just some sort of power.
That kicks in when she needs it.
Right, right. And I think it's, in this episode, she does like learn a little bit more about her family history. And I think it's her grandmother is the one that tells her like the ancestors watch over for the family in times of need. So mm-hmm. we do sort of get this like hint at when the power is available. You know, you have to be in like need and the power will be there. And it's the power of the ancestors, but it's still not like a super explanation. Like, is this the equivalent of the Black Panther going and like talking to all the previous Black Panthers? Is it that sort of thing? Like,
feels like it.
I mean, it'd be cool to see. So far we've seen like the Black Panther realm, we've seen in Khonshu,
mm-hmm.
you know, that whole sea of reeds and stuff. Mm-hmm. So it'd be cool to see another version of some sort of, you know, afterlife, or I don't even know what you can call it afterlife. It's sort of like a religion specific realm that you could go to. So I'd be up to see some more of that stuff. I always think that stuff's really cool to see, and especially in these series where they do it up in such like a fantastical manner that it's like, ah, this is cool. I'm a big mythology fan, so I love when they're able to bring that stuff sort of to life.
Yeah, so looking up real quick, so within the Marvel world there is a basically Native American gods called the Manidug. So I'm curious if there's connection there, because it could kind of lean towards, you know, Maya and her family are kind of, you know, part human, part of this.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that'd be cool.
Explain the abilities.
Right. And I definitely like that being tied into what Elisa said about there being sort of like a creation story
mm-hmm.
aspect to this. Like, you know, if they really are descendants of like the first Choctaw, what else does that mean? Like, if because Maya has a sister, mm-hmm. right? So, mm-hmm. like, does her sister also have
Bonnie,
these...
correct?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And isn't Bonnie actually her cousin, but is basically her sister? Isn't that what they were saying in the first episode? Because Bonnie keeps insisting, like, we're cousins. And then Maya's like, no, we're sisters.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, mm-hmm. that's right. Well, then, so if she, you know, well, I guess if they're cousins, they're still related. So does Bonnie have the ability to do this too? Or is it only like this main line of family?
Does Biscuits have the powers?
Yeah.
Biscuits is their cousin too.
Yeah, so I'm interested to see what comes of this power and what, you know, what can it actually do, and how can Maya learn to either control it or use it? Or, you know, at this point in the story, we see Maya kind of go back to her heisty criminal side. Granted, I think, you know, the reason that she's doing it is on the up and up. I'm wondering if we're going to see Maya become a hero, or if we're going to see Maya strive to, like, take over Kingpin's operation.
That's very, like, Ten Rings-esque, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's like she's already associated with that world, so she feels like she has that leadership, villainous leadership ability to take it over.
Right, right.
Go for it.
So
and she does say it's time for a queen.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. So it's like, yeah, is she going to take over and be as ruthless as Kingpin, or is she going to take over and try to, like, turn to a lighter side of crime, if that's a thing? I'd be interested to see. But in this episode, we get basically like a train heist. And mm-hmm. this is one of the first Easter egg things that I've seen for this series. I'm sure there were ones in the first episode that I missed, and probably more in the second episode. But I know there was one where the container that is on the like shipping container that she's breaking into is labeled D9X. Which is referencing Daredevil numbers 9 and 10, which are the first appearance of Maya in the comics. So that's kind of cool. And then before we get too far away from Easter egg things, they also mention Madripoor again, which, you know, we don't go there, but we, you know, there's like a funny line about don't buy those rugs, they're all made in Madripoor. And it's just like, oh yeah, Madripoor's a thing. So
that should be our t-shirt.
What? Don't buy those rugs, they're made in Madripoor, or Madripoor's a thing?
No, made in don't Madripoor. Buy those rugs. Made in Madripoor. Agents of Mace, made in Madripoor.
I mean, that is where we are all located, so
right.
But
seriously, when are we going to go back there? Like, why keep referencing it if we're not going to go back there?
What is Sharon up to out there?
We got to know.
It seems like the last three or four things, there has been at least one reference to Madripoor thrown in there. And it's like, yeah, we know it's there. Let's go back. There's things going on there. So, yeah. Maybe that's season two. Echo takes over Madripoor.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weight loss. That's PlushCare.com/weight loss. PlushCare.com/weight loss.
I think that the like idea of her taking over Kingpin's role is interesting because the show is doing so much to make you root for her that it would almost be like not in a good way, be like a really? She's gonna be bad? When it's sort of like, nah, this is cool to see her be this like sort of vigilante taking on Kingpin, could potentially partner up with Daredevil or Elektra or, you know, any number of Hell's Kitchen based Marvel heroes. I mean, do you think we'll see anyone else? I know, Luke, you know. Elisa, do you think we'll see anyone else in this series pop up? Like a cameo from anyone?
It would be nice to see Daredevil again. It would be funny to see She-Hulk. We could, maybe we could get another, like y'all said, Hell's Kitchen personality, like maybe Jessica Jones or Luke Cage. They could pop up. It would be really fun to see the Contessa. She comes and tries to recruit Echo.
You know, I feel like every day I'm seeing more and more news reports about something, somebody leaving or somebody joining or somebody walking away from the set of the Thunderbolts. I don't know what's going on.
Yeah, that's a whole nother episode. Yeah.
Apparently they haven't started filming. I thought that they had. I figured that they were well into filming. And they haven't. Yeah. And that's why they lost one of the directors. I think Steven Yeun was supposed to be in it. Which
yeah.
He's always great, but he's like, I can't just wait for us to start forever.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I don't know what's going on with that.
She could be one of the young Avengers, I guess.
Yeah, definitely. I think it would be, I think it would just be cool because right now we have like a full roster of young female Avengers, right? Like Miss Marvel, Kate Bishop, Echo, Yelena, Riri.
Cassie.
In America.
Yep, America Chavez.
And then maybe Billy and Tommy. We're still not sure if they're real.
Yeah.
You know what's crazy is I just last night I finished Wolverine and the X-Men, that whole series, which is a lot of fun. And I just started like chronologically reading the House of M storyline, which is kind of like loosely where they got the, you know, Wanda creates her kids and they all have to pull her out of that, and then she loses it and like takes over the world and makes everyone see like a different reality. It's very, very different than WandaVision, but it's based on that like storyline. And that was my first thought when she said my children Billy and Tommy, and I was like, oh yeah, are Billy and Tommy around? Are they still a thing? I'm not really sure.
I don't know if they're supposed to be in the Agatha series They've showed like set photos that have got the boys in them, but that also that doesn't mean that they're here in this reality. They could very easily be in a different one, but not here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and talk about something I'm excited for, man. Let's go.
Hopefully, it won't go through a name change again. It's gone through like a name change about three times now.
Fingers crossed. Yeah. So back to Maya. So I'm interested to see where this is going. I'm interested to see, you know, how Maya is going to lean. Is she going to be a hero? Is she going to be a villain? Is she going to be like an anti-hero, maybe? You know, like a Deadpool, or hey, Deadpool's like in his own realm, I guess. But that sort of like sometimes you're a hero, sometimes you're a villain. More so, you're just doing stuff for yourself. Like, I'd be okay with that, I guess. But I do think the show is like really building up this family and ancestor aspect and her being good. So I'm invested in that. I'm invested in Maya being the hero that maybe she doesn't want to be, but she needs to be.
Mm-hmm. Classic line.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Great power comes great echoes.
It's just like some of the stuff she goes through in this episode with, you know, trying to rob the train, getting her leg caught, and then having the flashback moments. You know, she's starting to question a lot of things. And it's just like the family moments are so awkwardly interesting because it's almost like they don't want to see each other, but she needs them. You know, she's kind of in this position where, like, I'm around my family, I'm in these positions where I need them for things, but it's like I don't want to ask them for things, and
right,
she's kind of questioning everything,
right? Well, and but it's interesting because part of her I was like looking a little more into, you know, what people are talking about with her powers and like what they could be, and there's potentially some sort of like, not only do you get the power of the ancestors, but you retain their skills and memories. So the stickball game, you know, could have been more like a memory that she had, as opposed to we're just watching like something that happened in the past to her ancestor. It's like, no, that's a memory that she's had, that Echo currently has, whether she knows it or not. So that would be an interesting way. But again, I think it goes back to like, and again, not in a bad way, I'm not against this, I'm actually for it. I think it's cool now. But them taking characters and kind of twisting their powers to fit this universe in a way that's okay. Like, okay.
But that's the key, because I'll go back into my gripe. It has to fit the universe. If let's just say Maya does have these, you know, mutant, celestial, whatever. Like, what does that contain? Like, is it, you know, she shot Kingpin. That didn't kill him. But are these powers strong enough to where it could, like, wipe him out, you know? Like,
right.
There's got to be some limits there.
Well, and, like, we don't know, apart from her being able to like gain a little boost in her strength. Yeah. Could she like shoot laser beams out of her arms or something? Like what are the extents of her power? Can she fly?
Like, let's go back into the comic realm, like that we mentioned before, like she fights Namor and can hold up against Namor. Like, look at Namor and his capabilities versus Kingpin. Like,
right.
Big differences there.
Right. Yeah, but when she fights Namor, she's fighting Namor like backed by
the Phoenix Force, which is true. Yeah.
So it's like, is that, but again, like, is this the MCU's version of Maya having the Phoenix Force? They've given her this like weird celestial ancestor energy. But again, it's like, yeah, what does it entail? I almost feel like it does it feels like it's so much more connected to the powers that Kahori has, where it's like it gives her like increased physical ability, increased speed, increased strength.
Right.
And then like maybe there's the potential for like some telepathy or you know, some sort of like external power, but
it's like what do they want to truly tie this in with? Like, if it's this celestial stuff from like the Eternals, is she only connected with her ancestors, or is there going to be something that's going to link to like the Eternals?
True. And maybe I need to like watch that movie again. I like hardly remember anything in that movie. I mean, maybe there's a, I feel like they did so much with the Eternals to like solidify it in the MCU. And then it feels like they abandoned it. And we're just like, forget it. Like, I think we even talked about that a couple weeks ago. Like, why have they never brought back up that there's just a giant celestial sticking out of the ocean? Like, and no one's talking about it. So, I don't know. Maybe this is the tie back into.
It just feels like it's a key item of like someone's going to go research that and then turn into like this villain. And
exactly.
Here's like all these other movies or series that I could do.
When even I think every time I think about that, I immediately think of like Nowhere, right? Nowhere is a giant celestial head that they are inside and they are mining parts of it to sell and to turn into stuff.
Yeah.
How has nobody gone into the one that's sitting in the ocean and started mining inside of it to see what they could get? Seems like an oversight.
Maybe that's what Sharon's up to.
Yeah, we're going to find her and she's going to have like a celestial mech suit. So, all right. Well, did we miss anything? Do you guys have anything else for episode 2? I think it's a solid follow-up to episode 1. I think that like the one thing that this show has done very well is like stay consistent, at least in my mind. Each episode is like consistently well done in a way that the episode ends and you're like, I'm excited for the next episode. And then the next episode happens and you're like, cool, that like perfectly tied in with the last episode without me thinking like, man, I wish they would, you know, I don't know what's going on. Why didn't they explain that? Or how come they never talked about this again? So I'm really enjoying the series. I hope you all listening are enjoying the series too. If you haven't started watching the series, what are you doing? We're talking about episode 2. Go listen to episode 1 after you watch the whole series. It's available on Disney Plus right now, as well as Hawkeye, which perfect combo watch. Just breeze through Hawkeye right into Echo.
And maybe revisit Eternals. Why not?
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. See what's going on with that Eternal out in the ocean. Who knows? And get ready for Blade. Whenever that's
fingers crossed.
a real quick aside on Blade. I don't know. I think we talked about a little bit the Blade game that they've announced, and they have like a little mini teaser for. My initial thought was, I really hope that like this isn't what they've been building up to. Like they, you know, they're like, we're going to introduce Blade, and then they're like, yeah, by giving him a game. And it's like, oh, cool, but like, where's the show? Where's the movie?
The game is canon, and so you have to play it.
Yeah.
They would do that. They would do that.
They would. They're going to reference only in-game things, but in the movies. And you're going to be like, I don't know what this is. Hopefully you have an Alamo near you. You can go watch the previously on. All right. Well, our question last week was, which version of Kingpin would you like more of? So we'll do our answers. My favorite Kingpin is definitely the Kingpin that we get in. I won't even say in Echo. I'm specifically the Kingpin that we got in Hawkeye. He was like comic accurate, big, strong. He rips a car door off of a car as if it's nothing. And then he gets shot with arrows like two or three times and just pulls them out and does not affect him at all. And all I could think the whole time was like, yes, this is comic book Kingpin. This is what I want. I don't want Kingpin that is just a guy. I want like big, bulky, strong, scary Kingpin.
There you go. So I got to go same actor, but I like the Netflix Daredevil Kingpin. Because I think he's still like a powerhouse in there, but I think he's more of an established like persona. Like everyone knows what he's this. Like everyone, like, and he's just, it's just the way he's able to move about that city and hide in the shadow. Like he always stays hidden, but it's just like, I don't know. I just like the setup they did for that version of Kingpin. And he's still like pretty strong and powerful.
Mm-hmm. How about you, Alyssa?
I like the one from Spider-Verse. Because like the way that he is big is a way that you can only be in a cartoon. But it totally works within the context of that movie. And it also does make him at least a little bit sympathetic because he's doing all this to try to get his family back. So it's kind of a complex and nuanced Kingpin. But also, he's just so very huge, especially yeah. compared to the regular scaled people around him. He's basically like a square with a head a few inches below the top of the square. That is Kingpin yeah. in this movie. So that's my favorite one.
Yeah, his proportions are wild in that movie.
Yes.
Yeah.
And he just like, he smashes Spider-Man to death with his fists.
Yeah.
Like, and he's, oh my goodness.
Teeny tiny little legs. And you're like, how do those hold that up? I don't know. Well, those are good picks. So hopefully you let us know on social media what your favorite one was. And I hope you're ready for this week's question, which will be a little more, open-ended, I guess. But my real question is, what do you think Echo's powers are? Do you think they're celestial? Do you think they're mutant? Do you think they're just ancestor powers? Like some sort of like, you know, again, like a Black Panther-esque, you know, afterlife realm powers? Or do you think this is some sort of weird Kahori made from the Reality Stone or whatever? I don't remember what stone it was. I can never remember the blue one.
It's the Tesseract, the Space Stone.
Space. Thank you. Mm-hmm. I think you've corrected me every single time that I've said any other stone. So I appreciate it. Thank you. Yes. Space stone. One of these days I need to like just a chart in my office that just has all the stones and what they are. But yeah, is it that some weird broken and half space stone power that we don't know about? So let us know what you think. We'll let you know what we think. And join us next time for episode 3 of the Marvel Disney Plus series Echo. See you guys next time.
Bye.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus,
Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.